Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Welcome back. This is hour number two of Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon. We're talking with Rich about the messenger RNA vaccines.
Yeah. And Rich, I want you to remember back when the virus first hit Washington State, because we were the first state in the Union, because we are on the Pacific Rim, to have documented COVID cases.
Yes, that's right.
And our nursing homes were decimated. Our older people in those nursing homes were dying like flies. I mean, whole nursing homes were just getting emptied out from COVID deaths because those older people have very poor immune systems. You know, we start off in life with robust immune, and the older we get, the less competent our immunity is. And the virus was killing old people at an enormous rate. So what I'm telling folks is, if you're immunocompromised, if you're quite elderly, if you are being treated for cancer, if you're diabetic, if you're morbidly obese, if you have problems that are interfering with your immune response, you probably are safer with the vaccine than with the virus. So take the vaccine. If, on the other hand, you're lean, you're fit, you're younger, you are in robust, good health, you've got a active immune system, don't take the vaccine. You're in more danger from the vaccine than you are from the virus. All right?
Glutathione peroxidase, what's produced by NAC. Start giving them that. Start giving them hydroxychloroquine and start giving them ivermectin. Now, you know how those things were vilified how they were lied about.
Yes.
And that, you know, I would prefer.
And one of my doctors got turned in by a pharmacist and had an investigation by the state board because she gave somebody hydroxychloroquine. So, yes, but the fact is we live where we live. Mm-hmm. We have a tightly regulated medical environment. And if doctors want to keep their license, they don't spit in the face of the board.
Right. You're talking about the Washington Medical Commission, correct?
Yes, that's right. Yes.
I give them a middle finger.
Well,
anyway.
You can.
You can. You don't practice medicine here.
That's right.
Well, anyway, I your scenario, I think, you know, I appreciate everything that you do, Dr. Mixon, but I think it was a little altruistic because of the fact that in these things were vilified because the only way they could bring out in emergency use only is if they didn't have any other sort of therapies. And that's why all these doctors throughout the nation were vilified.
Like, I agree. I signed the Great Barrington petition. So, yes, I'm one of the doctors who objected to that in writing. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact is, they bulldozed the science and they gave us politics instead of science.
But that's what we had then.
Yes.
Right? It's different now. All right, Rich, hey, we're going to have to go to our next call, Rich.
Okay. I'm sorry, sir. What were you saying? Oops,
what you just said.
Oh, so, what was that?
Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
I appreciated his position.
All right. You take care, sir. Bye-bye.
Very good, Rich. Thank you so much. Yeah, we're having to think about a lot of things.
And, yeah, we do.
And now we can compare to 4 years ago, yeah. But 4 years
and
ago we couldn't.
Life is trade-offs, mm-hmm. You know, and you work with the best knowledge you got at the time. Mm-hmm. At the time, we were working with very incomplete knowledge. Unfortunately, that incomplete knowledge got codified into political dogma. And then we ended up with a dogma even after the science had changed. And, you know, they kept spouting, follow the science, follow the science. Yeah. They weren't following the science.
No.
They were following the politics, damn it.
All right. Let's head to Seattle. We have Cheryl on the line. Good morning, Cheryl. Welcome.
Hello, Cheryl.
Hi, Dr. Mixon. I'm a longevity customer, and I've called you before about my son and my husband.
Uh-huh.
Specifically, when you were talking about starting to look at services for younger people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm calling about my 21-year-old son, who I had at 45.
Okay.
And I'm concerned that hormone imbalances are affecting him adversely. So the background is father has dysthymia, mild cognitive disorder, chronic high TSA. He's very inactive, focused on the computer, movies and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
My son went to school with an IEP, depression and social anxiety, speech impediment, and he was mistreated and isolated at school.
Oh, dear.
His depression is palatable. What's good is he's willing to go get, you know, treatment. He says, Mom, mm-hmm. I need to go to IOP again. He's a reader, thinking of philosophy degree, gotten over writing problems. He's kind, willingness to do mental gymnastics with extremely complex concepts. But he's so fearful. Climate change, no reason to get married, no reason to have kids, avoiding work of any type.
How about
very
fun?
Suspicious. Yeah. So I have done almost everything that I can do, you know, to try to help him throughout
yes.
his teen years. So I'm wanting to bring him to you and at least have a panel. And I don't know, you know, if you would do different or the same things on the panel.
We'd start with a basic panel and then we'd alter it based on the results. We have, on occasion, treated young people that were the children of our patients. And in one occasion, even the grandchild of one of our patients. And, you know, all of our program is not always appropriate for younger people. But the youngest person we ever treated was 14 years old. And so I was frankly hesitant to do it. But at the time, I had a doctor who was the consummate grandma figure. And she just begged me to let this little 14-year-old anorectic girl into. This was a girl 14 years old. I think she weighed like 60-some pounds.
Wow.
So, you know, we worked with her. And Padmini just loved her into compliance. And we got her up to 90-some pounds and, you know, moved her off to her other physicians, and she was doing great. So we have, on occasion, taken on somebody that is outside of our normal wheelhouse. And we do try to give special consideration to the children and grandchildren of our more traditional older patients. So, you know, the trick would be to do a basic evaluation and consultation at least, not a take them in as a full patient until we're sure we can do something that'll help. But we can do an initial consultation. We can do an evaluation. We can then let you know, are the things here we think we can help with or not? And, you know, if not, we'll tell you. Because it is outside of our normal wheelhouse. But sometimes we're able to help. Does that?
Yeah. He's kind of suspicious of longevity and other things due to bring quality to my life. Not because of me, but just because he's in general suspicious.
Sure.
And I need him to talk with somebody that he's going to be able to respect and look up to. And mm-hmm. I kind of like the idea of that one doctor who said, let me have that 14-year-old.
I know. I know. She retired, unfortunately, 10 yeah. years ago.
Right. But I think he needs somebody a little bit different than who I have. So I love my person.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how to do that.
Well, and I'm not sure either, obviously. I don't know, I don't know him. I don't know his needs or anything yet. We haven't even started an intake or an evaluation.
Okay.
I can think of a couple of possibilities. Dr. Pentland is a very nice young man who might get along well with him. Dr. Umat, of course, is my medical director, older, but certainly for him would be a maternal / grandparent sort of figure. So there's, there's possibilities that we could kind of look into and see what might fit. And where we start may not be where we finish. You might start with one person and do the initial evaluation and then say, based on what we learn, this young man would do better with this other person, this other doctor. So, it's...
Well, I will do my best to get him in there.
Yeah. Well, do your best, obviously. Yeah. And I can't promise any more than, we can do an initial consultation and let you know what we think.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Take care. Bye-bye.
Well, I wondered if he was aware of what's going on with his body. Because sometimes when you are aware that there's something not right, mm-hmm. that I need this fixed, that makes it easier to come in and maybe talk to somebody.
Yeah. So. Although, this kid sounds like he's had some real developmental issues and, peer abuse at school because he is. There is a phrase that is coming into use now that I really like, and it's called neurodiverse.
Hmm.
Diversity is unfortunately become a catchword for anti-Caucasian racism.
Yes.
But there are people that are neurodiverse. Their brains don't work just the way everybody else's do. They approach the world differently, and they're often not accepted by other kids. One of my sons, when he was in elementary school, was originally, we were told that he was, learning disabled and never be able to accomplish much. And then we just discovered computers. Well, this kid is unable to tell a 2 from a 5 from a Z, but on a computer keyboard, he knows. Turns out he's got an IQ that's near genius.
Wow.
He just perceives the world differently than the rest of us. So,
neurodiverse.
Yes, neurodiverse.
Okay.
The brains don't work the way everybody else's do. That doesn't mean they're bad.
Nope.
It means they're different.
You just have to find out why and how to work with that.
Yep.
All right. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette here with Dr. Jerry Mixon. We are taking your calls, and we have room for you at 206-421-5757. Don't wait till the end of the show. Call right now, 206-421-5757. We'll be back with Mary in just a moment. Help you. Hi there. Good morning. Lynette here with Dr. Jerry Mixon, and we're talking about all sorts of things. Ready for your next caller there, Dr. Mixon?
Let's do it.
All right. Mary calling from Des Moines. Hi there, Mary. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Hello, Mary.
Hello. I've got a question for you, Dr. Mixon. I am 55, And recently, within the last 7 months, I have eczema on the palms of my hand and occasionally on my neck. And I've gone to a dermatologist, and she recommended some creams, some steroid cream, and some oral prednisone. And it seemed to help for a little bit, and it just now seems like it's getting worse. And I am not sure at this point what else to try. I've heard that it could possibly be due to my diet.
Possible. But is this the first time you've developed eczema?
Yes, this is the first time. And it just kind of came on all of a sudden.
All right. Because that's typically eczema, also known as atopic dermatitis, usually occurs before age 5 the first time.
Yep.
And then it tends to wax and wane. It'll go away sometimes for years at a stretch and then come back. So, you know, you sound like a lady of some mature years. That puts you outside of the typical for a first attack. So then we have to ask why at this point in your life, instead of being 3 or 4 years old, as like the typical first time, are you developing it now? You know, the basic issue with atopic dermatitis or eczema is it's a barrier defect in the skin. Our skin is not just a barrier against the world. It's also our interface with the world. We have oils. We have chemicals in our skin. We have immune cells there. We have things that are supposed to help us protect us against the bad things in the world and help us to take advantage of the good stuff. Palms of your hands being the first place that breaks, you know, that is breaking out for you, makes me then question, what is it you're handling? What is, you know, what's going on there that is traumatizing these hands of yours? You know, once more, because of the late age at which we're seeing it for the first time, you know, that it's probably not the typical. There are, for instance, genetic predispositions. There are some genes that we can actually measure that we know these people are going to have barrier issues with their skin, and they tend to have more problems. But once more, something has changed with you. You've gone for, I'm going to guess, 60-plus years without it, and now all of a sudden, you know, it's hitting you. So have you changed anything dramatic recently? Have you started working with different chemicals? Are you doing gardening and you've got, you know, pesticides or chemicals or cleaning agents that are hitting your hands that you weren't using before?
Yeah. So here is the thing is years ago, so I'm 55. So years ago, I had my allergy testing done on my back and they said that I was allergic to dogs. And within the last 2 years, I was like, well, I'm not going to get rid of my dog, you know, but within the last 2 years, I decided to start professional dog walking after I retired. And nothing happened. And I'm very good at like washing the leashes, keeping my hands clean, always washing my hands. But I noticed I've been doing that for 2 years now, but when the last 7 months or so, I noticed it started on the palms of my hand, and occasionally I'll get it on my neck, and then in other spots I'll start to get those blisters. And so I've gone to two different dermatologists, and they've referred different types of antibiotics.
Creams, but
yeah, and it's just frustrating because the palms of my hand are so dry, and I can see it spreading out onto my other hand, which I don't usually walk the dogs with, but I can see it spreading to my other hand on the palms of my hand. And I've tried soaking it. I've tried the wet wipes. One of my friends, her son had it since he was a child, and he gave me a couple suggestions, and I looked some stuff up, you know, like soaking in baking soda, Epsom salt, just warm water. And you know, I've done a little research, and I said that apples are a good probiotic. What do you think of like probiotics? Or
probiotics are fine. Yeah, our problem though is, you know, what's changed? What's different? Because you got a long time without this, and now
it's really weird. It just came on all of a sudden, and I was like, that is so bizarre. Yeah. I know I've been under a lot of stress, I'd say, for the last year, so I don't know if bring it out.
And you can develop new allergies even, in our mature years. I mean, we'll tolerate an allergen for decades, and it doesn't bother us, and then sometime, as our immune system is changing with age, all of a sudden, it bugs us. So you might want to go back for allergy testing again. And since you're doing dog walking, I would be concerned about not just dog danders and so on, but also the chemicals they use in the flea collars and that sort of thing. Because, people like to protect their dogs. They put things on the dog like flea collars or washes or mite washes, and then you get the dog on you, and you're reacting not so much to the dog but to the chemical that is on the dog.
Sure, that would make sense. Yeah. So are there any particular – I did a little research on some probiotics. Is there anything that you would recommend, or anything as far as my diet that might help, or you just suggest maybe going and doing another allergy test?
I'd do an allergy test, but I would also take as many different high fiber foods as you practically can. Everything from apples and pears to gar gum to vegetables, high fiber vegetables. It's kind of interesting. The bugs in our gut need to be fed, and they digest fibers that you and I cannot digest. The soluble fibers in our food, they get into our gut. We can't use them, but the bacteria can. And then those bacteria make metabolites that we can't, that help protect us. So not just one fiber. Apples are fine, but they're a start. But you want to put as many different high-fiber foods into your gut as you reasonably can.
Okay. Because I did some research, and I seen that Stellar Biotics, and I think it's called Skinzia Probiotics, was supposed to be good, or maybe some vitamin D.
The best one I have found so far, and this is an area I've been actively researching for the last month or more, and it scares me sometimes. I've probably read 300 papers on different bacteria right now. It's a company called Seed, S-E-E-D.
Okay.
And they've got the most comprehensive and best balanced mix of enteric bacteria around, and they've got a system for getting it through your acidy stomach and into the gut that I think is superior to what anybody else is doing. So you might look that up. Seed, S-E-E-D, it comes in a green thing. Their pills are kind of big because it's actually a pill within a pill. They have an inner pill that has the bacteria in it that are grown aerobically and packed in nitrogen, and then they put that pill inside a bigger acid protective pill, so that it protects the bacteria against your stomach acid, so that it gets through the stomach, through the small bowel, into the colon where it needs to grow. It's not the cheapest one out there, but it seems, from my research thus far, it seems to be the most comprehensive one, gives the widest balance of organisms.
Okay. And as far as like the dryness and stuff on is there anything that you would recommend?
Well, you're looking for the most benign oils you can. Two things, okay? Wash aged, wash only when soiled, okay? Keep aged skin oiled, wash only when soiled is the idea. Don't use a lot of soap on it, and something simple like olive oil is a very nice thing to rub on your hands to kind of keep it moist 3 or 4 times a day. Okay. All right?
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate your feedback and your information. I thank you very much, Dr. Mixon.
You're welcome, ma'am. You take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, you too.
Thank you for the call, Mary. We'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine. Donna will be talking with you, and Sandy, you as well. Here's that number to get through with your call, 206-421-5757. I'm Lynette, Dr. Jerry Mixon. We'll be back in just moments. Welcome back. Leading Edge Medicine here. We have a few minutes left and a few more calls to get to. Dr. Mixon, are you ready?
I guess. I have trouble connecting with that last song, though.
Oh, you got one more last
chance. One more last chance.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Right. I could no more do anything that would give my wife requirement for one more last chance.
Yeah.
I mean, she's the whole center of my universe.
There you go. You know,
I keep yes, the woman happy.
So. Duh. I think you should start another show, you know, Dr. Mixon After Dark. You know, a few people have called you the love doctor.
Yeah. Well, and I have actually considered, as we develop our audiovisual program, you know, we're building out the studio. We're going to be doing live stream. We're going to be doing podcasts. We're going to be going online a lot instead of just on the radio. And I'm thinking about segmenting that. There is the medical part. There is the political part, and then there is the lifestyle part. Mm-hmm. You know, how to have a happy life, a wonderful marriage, how to enjoy your life fully. And I think those three need to be segmented. There's the medicine that is for everybody. I don't care about your politics. I don't care about if it helps you, I want it. You know, my morality for medicine is simple. If it helps my patient, it is good.
Yes.
If it hurts my patient, it is bad. And that's simple. So I am purposely totally non-judgmental about your lifestyle, your decisions, except as it affects your health. Politics is different. Politics is something where I have strong feelings about what works, what has been shown to work throughout the world, throughout history, and what is destructive. And then there's the personal life. What makes people happy and what gives you fulfillment as a human being? And those are three very distinct areas that I don't really want to blur that much. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to figure out how, as I do the podcast, do I make some of it free, some of it paid? Do I do different groups? Are they on different sorts of websites? You know, how do you how to structure that? Because I've got three really different areas of life that I would be interested in chatting with people about.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, that'll be exciting. I like it. Ready for a phone call?
Let's go.
All right, we have another call here. We are going to talk to Donna. Good morning, Donna.
Hello,
hi,
Donna.
Good morning.
How can we help?
Well, I have a question, actually two, but I read an article that said vitamin D may interfere with calcium channel blockers, and I take Verapamil 2,4-D SR a day.
Okay.
Because vitamin D releases calcium into the blood, which may decrease the relaxing effects of the Verapamil. Should I be concerned?
Good question.
No. Okay, you got two different things going on here. One is the calcium channel blockers, which are the chemicals or that actually affect the movement of ions through the cell wall. Okay, and that's different. So all of the positively charged ions, sodium, potassium, calcium, magnesium, all of these positively charged ions are important to flow in and out of the cell through the cell wall to cause muscles to contract, to cause the cells to do their job, right? That's different from bone metabolism, in which you're driving calcium into the bone or you're allowing calcium to come out of the bone and raise your serum calcium. Vitamin D when used with appropriate amounts of vitamin K2, actually drive the calcium out of your system, out of your bloodstream into the cell or into the bone. So people with good vitamin D levels tend to have denser bones than people with inadequate vitamin D levels. So we're actually driving the calcium into the bone. The bone is your single biggest calcium storehouse. And so if your estrogen is too low, or your testosterone or your dehydroepiandrosterone, if any of those hormones are too low, then you're actually dissolving bone and you're pulling calcium out of the bone into the bloodstream. That's a whole different situation. So you got the hormonal balance, you got the vitamin K2 balance, you got the vitamin D balance. And you know, the whole idea is that you're trying to keep your, what we call homeostasis. You want your vitamin mineral levels to be in a healthy range, and especially in women who tend to lose both their testosterone and their estradiol as they age, they tend to dissolve their bones a lot faster. And so that's where you get too much calcium. It's not from the vitamin D per se.
Well, that wasn't really my question. My question was, it says it interferes with the effects.
Yeah, but it doesn't unless levels are really far out of line. And so what you want to do is you want to look at the dose of the calcium channel blocker that you're using, and you want to say, what is the effect? Is it holding my blood pressure where I want it to be? Is it keeping my heart rate where I want it to be? Okay. And if they are, then you don't have to worry about it.
Okay.
Don't confuse theory with practice, all right? Lots of stuff can cause problems in theory that in practice just don't.
Yeah, well, my blood pressure is pretty labeled. But anyhow, thank you for that. Then the next question is, I guess I should stop reading things, but I have... I drink pomegranate juice with beet juice. I put the pomegranate juice in my beet juice because beet juice is so icky to taste, and it kind of makes it palatable.
Okay.
And I read that it has an enzyme that may act the same as grapefruit juice, which may increase verapamil.
Well,
and
have
you heard anything about that?
Yes, because the liver enzymes that break down a lot of your medications are in fact inhibited by some fruits and vegetables. And beets and grapefruit are kind of famous for that, yes. So once more, the question is, it is true that this can happen, but is it happening to you? Is it a clinically significant change? If it's resulting in your drug doses going too high and your blood pressure is dropping out, well, then yeah, you better back off on it. If, on the other hand, you know, your blood pressure is not being interfered with and you're doing well, relax and enjoy life, sweetie.
Okay. Well, right. It is to have that beet juice and pomegranate juice because it's, you know, kind of relaxes. It's supposed to, anyhow.
Yes. They're relaxing and they're healthy. The polyphenols in the pomegranate juice are potent anti-cancer, anti-inflammatory effect. So they're very, very nice. The beets raise your nitric oxide level. They increase the blood supply to your brain, your heart, your muscles, your kidneys. So, you know, this is all good stuff.
Okay, well, I only have 4 ounces of each every other day, so I guess I'm not killing myself.
No, ma'am. Doesn't sound like it would give you any grief whatsoever.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and I really appreciate all you do. I love listening to you.
All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you
for
the call,
doing
Donna.
The show. I have a lot of fun with it. Bye-bye, dear.
Very good. Thank you, Donna. All right. We're continuing with the phone calls, headed to Mount Lake Terrace right now with Sandy on the line.
Hello, Sandra. How can I help?
Hi, Sandy.
Oh, hello, doctor. Hi. I have what a lot of old women get, incontinence.
Okay.
And nobody seems to know diddly poop about what to do about it.
All right. Yeah, I love the euphemisms old ladies use. You know, my My mother, when she was waiting to die, she had tumors in her brain, and it was just waiting. She used to say, "This waiting around to die is the horse's patoot." My mother's the only one I know who used the phrase "horse's patoot."
Yeah, my grandmother would use it.
Gave me patootie.
Patootie.
That's right. You got it.
Yeah, cutie, horse's patootie. Patootie.
Yeah. Okay.
Something like that.
Okay, women.
And she did die.
Yeah, women are proof that God is male. All right, it's just female plumbing works great until you use it. Male plumbing only works well as long as you use it. You know, if we aren't using our plumbing, it goes to hell. If women use theirs, it goes to hell. So it's kind of a mismatch. Childbearing is especially difficult on women's reproductive tract. And the bladder is attached to the front of the uterus, right down just above the cervix. And so that whole thing of having babies and make this uterus grow gigantic and then shrink back down stretches things out. The process of putting an 8-pound baby through, you know, a 1/4-pound opening tears muscles and rips stuff. And it's never the same again.
No.
It just is not.
But it didn't bother me for years.
Yes. Well, but let's get to the rest of the story.
No.
A female god did not design this system, all right? This was designed by a male deity, I'm absolutely convinced. Because once you've gone through that process, when you're young, you have muscle. You have testosterone, dehydroepiandrosterone, you have estradiol, you have progesterone. You have the hormones to allow you to maintain muscle mass. And even with the rips and the tears and the damage, you're able to compensate. But as you age and your anabolic hormone load declines, those hormones that let us make muscle, those muscles get weaker and weaker and weaker. And those already damaged muscles from birth and childbearing and pregnancy, they don't hold things in anymore. And we develop what's called stress incontinence. And every cough, every bearing, every lifting something up, urine now wants to leak out. And that is a very, very common problem with older women. There are some surgical repairs that can be done for it. There's also some exercises to try to rebuild those muscles. And what I usually try to do, and again, we're talking about my patients at Longevity, we give you back the anabolic hormones so you can make those muscles again, so you can make them stronger. And then we put you on an exercise program to do what we call Kegels exercises, in which we're actually using those lower abdominal and pelvic muscles to tighten them up and build them up and make them stronger. The combination of the hormones and the exercise will often be enough to rebuild the strength and get you back your bladder control. And if it isn't, then the next step is an intervention like a surgical repair, where they can actually go in and tighten up those muscles, pull them together, put some stitches in so that things actually provide the support they used to provide. But I'd rather do it with hormone balancing and exercise if I possibly can. Just because I don't like operating on old folks. Bad tissue doesn't heal as well.
Well, it really got bad when I got a watchman from Dr. Who did it? Oh.
Cardiologist.
And it seems to be working very well. I don't know a thing about it. It's just there. But since they went in first, and I had to have a lower GI. I think that's what it amounted to anyway. And then everything seemed fine, but they couldn't check what they'd done well enough and wanted to go in with a camera. Well, then I had a blockage in my upper intestine, so they did that. And ever since then, it's been intense. It wasn't before that.
All right. Have they changed your medications? Because there are medications that can interfere too. Yeah.
I had been on what's the middle strength or whatever listed in the 3 top blood thinners. I can't even think of it at the moment. And Xarelto.
Okay.
And I didn't no longer have to take that because they can't get past the plug. Uh-huh. And they added a baby aspirin.
Okay.
And a lot of stuff got dropped. Now, the only other thing I've taken for a long time is hydroxychloroquine. I seem to be your program today.
Yeah. Okay.
And I've taken that for like, I don't know, I think I've gone to this rheumatologist for 15 years. Because he's given it to me for Sjogren's.
Yeah, Sjogren's, rheumatoid. It's a very good compound for autoimmune diseases. Yes. Rheumatologists have used it for decades, since the 50s. So,
For mosquitoes, too.
Yeah. So the question is, what has changed? How much of this is just, you know, aging and becoming frailer and losing the muscle mass, and how much is it stuff that we can fix? I guess I'd start by getting a evaluation by a good urologist. Somebody that can get a scope up into your bladder, that can do a good gynecologic exam, see how much laxity you've got. Is your uterus staying up nice and high, or is it starting to fall down? If that uterus is descending and actually coming down the vagina, then that will actually cause urinary incontinence because your bladder is no longer being held where it's supposed to be held. So you're going to require a good physical exam by a gynecologist and a urologist. And at some point, you ought to ask them about Kegel's exercises. The exercise alone might be enough to help you. And if it isn't, we can always add the hormonal balance on top of the exercise, and that will really kind of kick it into high gear for you.
I've seen it. I have used TENS for my back extensively when I was younger, until Dr. Dan, I call him, your Dr. Dan, my Dr.
Dan. Good old Dr. Dan, yes.
I love that man. Put the, can't think of the devices in my back.
Okay. Vertiflex?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, put that's two in pretty mine wonderful, too.
Yes, it really
I
is.
I know, yeah. I hear you every time. Oh, gosh, yes. It's fantastic. I hate to say that, because everybody will run into Dr. Dan, and I'll never get back in.
Well, yeah. I'm trying to convince Dr. Dan to come over and work for me, you know. So you, next time you see him, encourage him. Tell him, why don't you go over and work with Dr. Mixon? So,
yes.
Well, of course, he's got Sarah there. He seems to be training, and she's quite a gal.
Yes, she is. But you know, I've already told him, you want to come over here, you bring her with you.
Bring her.
Sure. We're all going to be going to Bellevue in the clinic for the ship.
There you go.
All right. Well, thank you
one
for the call.
One last question.
Yes, ma'am.
Can I ask one last one?
Sure, go ahead.
I have heard ads or seen them in conjunction with the TENS that you can use them for tightening the muscles too.
Yeah, yeah. There are TENS type units that are designed to stimulate the stimulate the muscles, make them contract despite themselves. So it's basically an electrical version of exercise to make the muscles get bigger and stronger because you keep stimulating them, you know, like your natural nerves would, except they can do it more potently. I have not seen that for bladder control per se, but I don't know why it wouldn't work. It would just be a matter of where you put the electrodes, I guess.
Right.
Probably the person to talk to about that would be the urologist. That's really kind of outside of my bailiwick. So.
Yeah, at my age, I've got so many doctors now, I've got to make a list along with what I expect
understand.
From them and how to get in touch with them.
Yeah, well, you know, you've got doctors, I've got patients. So it balances out, sweetie. So,
does it? Okay. Right. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. And I'll probably call back on something or another.
All right, feel free. I always love hearing from you. That's what we're here for. You take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you for your call, Sandy. Just time for one more call. James calling in from Birch Bay today. Hi, James.
Hello, James. How can we help?
Good morning. Good to talk to y'all. Just got back from the Philippines. So I was the one that was going last year to Philippines and had some conversations with y'all about that. But we're back, and my wife and I will be her first time. We will rejoin Longevity next Friday.
Okay.
Be coming back in.
Wonderful.
Yep, I enjoyed the first. The first round was great. Then we're going to head to Japan probably late August for a contract gig over there. But the thing I had a question on, because I know we're short on time, is cardiovascular abnormalities. You know, last year when I was spoken with y'all and also interacted with Dr. Pentland and others there, kind of helped me through the process. I was having some weird heart beat issues, skip beats, and some other stuff when I was doing high-intensity training last spring, a year ago. And so they put me in for the echo, had a 48 ejection fraction and some other issues they thought maybe, but everything else was normal, EKG and all that. A week later, my ejection fraction up at St. Luke's, a much better hospital, was 61. No big deal, but they went at it. So, yeah, just that's a big change in just 1 week.
Yes.
So then they went into angiogram and doc up there, a great cardiologist, determined I had moderate or severe sclerotic disease, and he thought a 45 to 50% blockage and supposedly forming an aneurysm in my LAD, which is fairly rare. He says more of an aneuritic bend. So, jumped back here, saw the cardiologist up in Bellingham. She said she didn't think it was quite that bad, maybe 35% blockage, but she couldn't. She's having to hold x-rays up to the light because they just didn't have that. You know, they're further ahead in their technology. So, anyway, put me on Zio patch. Then that's 2 months after all this had started, and then there was, for 2 weeks, there were no skip beats. There was no activity.
We are in the last 20-some seconds of the show.
Yes, James.
Shut us off.
Oh, can you please
call
us
early,
back?
Call me early next week, and let's chat about this. Because you obviously got some things we want to address.
Yes, we want to talk with you, James.
But they throw us off the air in about 10 seconds.
There you go. Yes. Sorry. Okay. Wow, what a show. So many great calls. Leading Edge Medicine will be back live next week. I hope you can join us. We'd love to hear from you.